Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about spirituality, healing, energy, alternative medicine, higher levels of consciousness, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun way to nourish your spirit. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Hey everyone, I want to welcome to the Transformation Cafe. I'm your host, Robin Misevich, and I just really want to encourage everybody to be joining us here at the Cafe Book Club. Woo-hoo! We are on week two of Big Magic from Elizabeth Gilbert. She is the author of Eat, Pray, Love, and this is her newest book out. And you know, it's amazing how many people I tell about this, and they're all going, yeah, I have that book too. So it's really, really cool to be seeing just so many people that are already aware of it and how they're really just finding the benefits of it. So I know Amy had said that too. So we've got all kinds of regular diners and some new people popping up on our queue. And Miss Amy is joining us, and she also has our wonderful. We've had Dr. Kim joining us as well a few times. So we've got these guys there. We've got Las Vegas represented tonight. So hey, how's it going in Las Vegas tonight, ladies?
Fantastic.
Fantastic. That's good. That's good. Miss Gloria is joining us tonight. Miss Gloria, how are you tonight?
Good evening. It's great.
Great. Great to have you joining us tonight. So, like I said, we are in week two of the book club, and this week we're going to be talking about enchantment. But I wanted to go back and just encourage everybody, if you're still new to this, no worries. That's one thing so nice about having a virtual book club. You can jump on and off and be able to look at the book, be able to go ahead and listen to the post, the post shows that we've already had got on our website, which is thetransformation-cafe.com. And while you're there, we would love for you to go ahead and have us go ahead and rate us. We'd love a rating. And share us with your friends so you can know about that. We've got an international audience and really love to hear from just all over the world. It's really great to hear from that. So, again, this is show 276. And we're just really going to talk about the idea that ideas are living things. And right off the bat, our last show, Amy had a couple things. I actually listened to the show right before we got back on again, just to have it fresh in my memory about what we want to talk about. And one of the things that came up with the whole idea of having things just being from a very spontaneous and connected way, and that's one thing about the magic. These ideas are living things that really want to be just manifested and come out into the world. And their whole thing is being able to have people getting connected to have these things really just be in a place of joy and excitement and just curiosity with stuff. And Amy, you had mentioned last week that you got invited to be a speaker at the stroke support group and have a presentation that you were going to do. I wondered if you could share what happened with that and any kind of other connections that have been happening for you.
Well, it was really interesting. I said I found myself kind of nervous about it because of not in the material I was presenting, but I wanted to make sure that I was really present for people who had, had a stroke and were working to go to the next level. And as I'm waiting in the parking lot to go in to do it, a good friend of mine called, and the anniversary of her husband's death had just happened. And I had a few minutes before I needed to go in, and we started to talk about it. Then I realized that he had died of a stroke. And here I was about to walk into a stroke support group. And he had been a clinician, and he and I had done work together. So it was, I really felt like he and I were able to go in and do that work together. But it never occurred to me that that was the case, that the anniversary of his death and the support group at the same time, I really count that as magic, and that I was able to honor his work and my work at the same time. And since then, again, in this place of exploring and what is it that I'm passionate about, just Monday, what is today, Tuesday? So I guess it was yesterday, I got an email to asking for me to come in and speak on Thursday and Friday at two different hospitals for two senior groups actually at the hospital for at least 40 people each time. And they want me to talk about gratitude because we're in Thanksgiving and about being of service. And I am so excited about it, and my schedule said I could do it, so So I said yes. And I'm not exactly sure what I'm going to be doing, but it's a topic I love and I've spoken on a lot of times. So I'm going to get our dear Kim on a plane here at noon tomorrow, and I'll come back and I'll have it ready for Thursday at lunchtime. So I really feel like I'm, you know, being guided, and it's really fun to watch.
Yeah, and she also had one experience that I'd really love for you to share is when you went to Disneyland this last week. What happened with that?
Well, we were watching performing arts, young people performing, and that was really fabulous. And this woman came up to us, and we were sitting on a bench that was kind of backed away, and she came over and just started talking to us. I thought she was going to tell us we were in trouble. But I'd come to find out that, you know, we just started chatting, and my husband works with veterans, and he had a hat on that said Army on it, retired Army. And so she was working with somebody that was challenged a little bit at Disneyland, and we talked about, you know, what he was doing and what I was doing with veterans. And it was just the most amazing experience. I mean, she was on the verge of tears, and we had just this amazing experience together, which if we hadn't have all stopped, and it was about 15 minutes. I mean, it was not just a minute or two, but 15 minutes of really connected conversation. And I think that's really part of being open and allowing that magic to happen.
Yeah, thank you for that. You know, the one thing that came up for me with Real Magic this week was I got introduced to another book that just seems to be such a compliment to what we're doing here. It's by Patricia Ryan Madison, and it's called Improv Wisdom. And she's a professor at Stanford University, and it works with the whole concept of the art of improv, you know, when it comes to acting, but being able to turn that into different kinds of things that you would look at and be able to utilize when it comes to just living your life in a more improvisational way. And what the number one thing in the Improv Wisdom is saying yes. And she said, that's the secret password to everything. You say yes. And think about that. If you're an idea and you're looking for somebody to be able to bring that out into the world and they know that you're a yes person, you're going to get a lot of ideas.
But you're that. Kind of looking, right, looking at the you know, part two or chapter two here, enchantment. So let's go to her words. And she says, this is the second paragraph, ideas spend eternity swirling around us, searching for available and willing human partners. I'm talking about all ideas here, artistic, scientific, industrial, commercial, ethical, religious, political. And it's like, wow, you know, that knowing that those are there, and we've talked about this before, I have a postcard and I have no idea where I got it, but it says, the answer to how is yes.
Yeah, so when I was going through the chapter and I came across this Improv Wisdom, I was literally like, oh, my gosh, everything about this book is what, you know, we're talking about, what Elizabeth put out there, or being able to come and be working with, you know, your energetic life forms that she calls ideas. If you go to page 34 on how ideas work, she says, I believe that our planet is inhabited not only by animals, plants, bacteria, and viruses, but also by ideas. The idea is a disembodied energetic life form. They are completely separate from us, but capable of interacting with us, albeit strangely. Ideas have no material body, but they do have consciousness. And they most certainly have will. Ideas are driven by a single impulse to be made manifest. The only way an idea can be manifest in our world is through the collaboration with a human partner. It is only through a human's effort that an idea can be escorted out of the ethers and into the realm of the actual. That's one of the reasons why I call this show Inspired Collaboration, because really that's what we're talking about, is just being able to be in that place where you're saying yes and really just automatically creating a contract and working with these ideas, knowing that they're just as much of a collaborator as you are. I just think that was just really, really, I got blown away when I first read that.
And what comes to me when you're saying that, it's about making a commitment to any relationship.
Exactly. And that's really, it's such a model for just any and everything that we do, no matter if it is an idea, whether it's the way that we work or play, and especially what you're saying, you know, having it where you're in a relationship with this other being that really is seeking to have a collaborative and just exciting and curious time with you and see what can happen. Being able to just...
Well, I know Kim and I watched the last show together today, and then she read the chapter also. So I would wonder if there's anything that Kim that kind of jumped up for you, Kim.
Yeah, I really love this idea about ideas being an entity. And one of the things I committed to for the month of November is to make more space in my life for magic and miracles. And I started kind of cleaning up my physical space, getting rid of things, passing them along, making things neater. I've started doing that both at work, getting projects complete that have been kind of on my plate for a long time, wanting to get them all wrapped up and put a pretty bow on them and pass them along so that I have a sense now, as especially as we approach Thanksgiving, that I'm going to have this bountiful table available for whoever wants to come. And I don't mean that physically. I'm really talking about space for the gift of new ideas, for the presence of new energizing ideas. And it's the picture I had as I read the book this afternoon was really setting the table for a guest. I don't know who it is or what it's going to be about, but I know that I now have space and energy, and I'm saying yes to the big idea that comes to me and knocks on my door, and things are going to be ready. So I'm kind of getting ready now, knowing that big magic is coming my way. And frankly, if it wasn't for this show and Amy, I would not have bought this book. I'm a little bit turned off by magic because I'm a control freak. And so the idea that something's going to magically happen, you know, just kind of repels me a little bit. If it had said big grace, I frankly probably would have bought the book on my own. And I've decided just a couple minutes ago, I wrote on the edge of my paper, grace is the magic of God.
Oh,
and so
nice.
Now I'm open to big grace and big magic and really the big presence of the universe in my life and however I can be of service.
You know, that's interesting because I can remember before I've heard of, you know, like you're saying, setting the table for a relationship. I can think of a dating book or I think it was a presentation or something that I'd heard once where the person was saying that, you know, if you want to have, you know, the love of your life coming into your life, prepare your home, prepare your table, and set the table like, you know, he's already on his way. So it's that intention of already saying yes to having those things coming in, and you're basically, you know, preparing everything knowing that it's already a done deal. So I think that's perfect that you're talking about it in whether it be a person or the idea or, you know, the being able to just be in an open place of yes and have that be, okay, what's next? You know, that's very, very exciting. It's very, very exciting. So, you know, the second thing in the improv wisdom is saying don't prepare, which I think is kind of interesting because here we're saying, you know, prepare and set your table. But a part of that is, you know, being in the now and being engaged with what's in front of you. So it's being in that process, I think, of even, you know, setting the table and almost setting it for yourself and just the fact that you enjoy how it looks and it's not for anybody else but you because you're enjoying the process. So that's part of the creativity and being in the motion of moving something forward. So I think that's really great, too.
And for me, Robin, knowing being a facilitator and a trainer, I know how important it is to have an outline, have everything structured and ready to go. The more structured I am, the more organized I am, the more spontaneous I can be.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, it's just like thinking of any kind of professional athlete, you know, they do all that time. And just, you know, I'm thinking of basketball. They just, you know, shoot and shoot and shoot and shoot. So by the time they're in the game, they're not even thinking about it because they've done it so many times, the body knows what to do. Or, you know, the energy knows what to do. So it's automatically going to that thing. So it's just really interesting. On Super Soul Sunday this last week, well, they actually have it. It's called Belief. It's Belief. That's a separate series that they're doing on OWN right now about different aspects of spiritual life and all that. And one was on practice. And the one I watched on practice had a Buddhist monk who had gone to learn Kung Fu And he was still in learning it on a physical level, and he said the goal was to make it to where it was just this meditation when he would be in battle or competing with somebody on a, you know, on a kung fu level where he was using the body, but he was just in this place of just peace and just being from just automatic motion of where he would be, where he needed to be, and not thinking about it anymore. He was just in every moment and still being from this place of peace. Because he, you know, his body and his spirit knew exactly what to do because it was in perfect balance with one another. I think that's
and
the same
that's
thing that we're talking about.
A really good point, and something I want to kind of bring full circle here with Kim and I and some work that we've been doing. And she talks about this idea of catching the idea, and that it's a, you know, they say 90% perspiration, 10% inspiration, and it's about being willing to sit and do the work and allow that to come forward. So they talk about poem, the poet Ruth, who she'd be out in the nature and she'd feel a poem coming and she'd run to the house to get paper. Well, hopefully she could catch it. And so part of that is too is doing the work to know what's good poetry, what isn't good poetry. Like for the instance with Kim and I working on an article or really a chapter for Strategic Leader Encyclopedia, we're working on self-care for leaders. Well, she and I both have done lots and lots and lots of work in that area. So it makes it easier for us to know what's a good idea and what isn't and what fits within that realm. And so I want to specifically talk about a part that I want her to dive in when she's ready. In 1998, a woman, her name Marilyn, she and I co-authored an article for Nursing Magazine, How to Build Your Hope Skills. And we wrote that at a Buddhist retreat center. She had a PhD in nursing, specializing in hospice. And the article was Hope Skills for Nurses Working with Terminally Ill Patients. And because of her expertise in hospice and as a nurse, she was a nurse, and my work in self-care and supporting each other, we created a called GRACE model. And that stands for goals, resources, action, control, evaluation. There we go. Phew! But the bottom line is she and I sat down, Marilyn and I sat down and wrote that article nonstop for a couple of hours. She'd type and then I'd type and then she'd type, and it hardly got changed at all. And it was such an experience of grabbing this thing and writing it. And then, oh my gosh, so 98, so zoom forward to 2015, and really it was Kim. We were trying to, how are we going to do this article and our chapter? And Kim and I had brought up the Hope article. I wasn't thinking about, you know, bringing Grace back again. Not that she ever went anywhere. She was always there. But Kim's brilliance in leadership, she took Grace was really focused on self-care, self-care, and she took it to how would a leader adapt it. And so this great idea that, you know, was birthed out of no place, but because of the knowledge that both Marilyn and I have, found a home, and then it found another home in a new way through Kim and my work together. And that really magically came together. Is there anything you want to talk about with that capturing that idea because of, you know, knowledge base?
Yeah, I think what that whole process was like was being willing to have ideas come out of nowhere and for having the ideas lead us instead of us leading the ideas. So we were really willing every day when we sat down to start with a blank sheet of paper and to see what came to us. You know, we have rich histories and lots of experience, but yet almost bringing a beginner's mind to the spirit of creativity and seeing what shows up to dance with, so to say. So Elizabeth Gilbert talks about how ideas can become our dance partners and lead us with new steps and new twists and new turns and all of that. And I thought it was a really powerful metaphor.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to getting dipped. Okay, no.
Well, yeah, if your idea dips you, that may be good or not.
Yeah. Woo! Okay, yeah.
One of the things that I heard a long time ago was that the ideas that we have that may not come to fruition are put out into the ethers for someone else to pick up and to take and to mold into their own idea. And so it's
it's almost as if the seed of the thought is whispering to those people who are willing to listen.
Yeah, Elizabeth talks about that where they call it multiple discoveries sometimes, where you've got scientists all working on the same, you're not talking to each other, but, you know, some kind of mathematical or physics or some kind of a problem is seeking to get solved, like in three or four places in the world, and they're not even talking to each other. And, you know, it's basically the race that somebody gets published before the other so they can basically be the one to claim that, yeah, we were working on it first. You know, and that can go into business. And she makes a really good point of, you know, it can even happen in romance when you've got, like, two people that are basically wanting your attentions at the same time. So, you know, it kind of goes
right,
back to the last
thing
we were talking about.
Forever. Right.
Yeah, we're like, for careful what you ask for. All of a sudden, you're going to have all these, you know, suitors.
Well, what you ask for,
like,
is what you're willing to allow.
Yeah. Yeah, such a problem to have something like that. That kind of goes back to that whole thing. I want to go back a little bit to what you guys were talking about, which is like, you know, we have this piece, you know, blank piece of paper every day and wanting to see what happened with that. Elizabeth talks about a wonderful story where she falls asleep on a commuter train and she had dreams of this short story. And she wakes up immediately from that short, you know, from dreaming it. She writes furiously, getting it all down. And when she finishes with it, you know, she goes back to review it. And like you guys were saying with Amy, with that other, you know, nurse with that article, hardly anything needed to be changed with it. And when she published it, when she published it, all the critics and stuff were just like, this isn't something that they've ever seen her write before. And a totally different kind of a voice, a totally different kind of a concept than they had ever seen her be able to create before. So when it comes to a muse, she definitely had a muse. And that creative idea that wanted to come through her, that, and she just said, you know, it's been 22 years since that's happened, but she always knows that, you know, if she shows up and she's willing to do the work, that those, you know, those wishes of, she goes with the wish in and the wish out, and the way that the ideas come and flow from you is that it's always there, because you're showing up, either they're going to show up in times when, you know, it just makes sense. I love the idea that, you know, Amy, you wrote that article so long ago, and yet it's getting rebirthed and rebirthed again.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that Amy and I have talked about that, where we've had the stuff we maybe made like 15, 20 years ago when it came to just teaching materials or just anything we've done for presentational skills and stuff like that. And it's true that some of this, you know, when it comes to the basics and coming from beginner's mind, you can pull that back out again, give it a little bit of a new refreshed perspective, and it's just ready to go, which is so wonderful because it just has that new resurgence of things that we hadn't even thought about. And it's great to bring it out again, too, because it's like this lovely friend you haven't seen for a long time.
Well, and we've grown, too, so we would dance with it differently, right? So that dance has changed. Hopefully you've learned a few new steps. And, you know, so let's talk about those times when you... Right, exactly. Then you can dip, right. So when you talk about those times, so let's go to page 49, where, you know, there's ideas are out there all the time and you don't take advantage of it for whatever reason. And she talks about being very polite when you say no, because you don't want the creativity gods to never come back. So you just as politely as possible. But, okay, let's say, all of a sudden now that thing has really taken off. Somebody is a bestseller now or whatever the idea is. So on page 49, she says, okay, grieve if you must, but grieve efficiently. Better to say goodbye to the lost idea with dignity and continue onward. Find something else to work on, anything, immediately, and get at it. Keep busy. Most of all, be ready. Keep your eyes open. Listen. Follow your curiosity. Ask questions. Sniff around. Remain open. Trust in the miraculous truth that new and marvelous ideas are looking for human collaborators every single day.
Yeah, let me say something about that, because over 30 years ago, I was hired to work at AT&T Bell Laboratories with Nobel Prize-winning scientists. Actually, they were all men at the time who created actually the computer that we use today, though back then it would fill a giant house. But anyway, the gentleman who hired me invented the touch screen that we all use today on our phones and elsewhere and take for granted. And he told me the process of inventing that technology for the touch screen. And what he said was this. He said, it's my job to get quiet enough
to hear the whisper of the idea.
Mm-hmm.
He said, ideas flood us every single day, but most of us are too busy, too noisy, don't make room, don't make time. And here it is, an award-winning scientist who basically said his job was to be quiet enough to hear the whisper of an idea.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's a lesson in that for all of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to go back to what Amy was saying about, being able to catch the idea. She's out in the field and she runs home to get the piece of paper. So first of all, my thought when I read that was like, I can have a little notebook, on me.
I know, that's what I thought too. Why don't you have paper on you?
Exactly. A pin behind my ear and I've got a little pad in my pocket. Okay. And then, but what was really cool about that story too is she said there were times when she was just getting the tail end of it. It's interesting, that chapter's called, that little segment's called The Tiger's Tail. She's just getting the tail end of it, and it actually would work from backwards to forward in the way that she wrote it down. So she almost had to, pull it all back in to be able to keep the energy and get the idea and everything that was just getting ready to leave. So I thought that was fascinating about being able to catch it in any way and have it all come back to the full concept of what, what was first, given when she was running toward the house to get the piece of paper. That was a great story. And just putting it together with that, too. So that was really cool.
I think it's not disowning this the hard work part, too.
Mm-hmm.
And it's on page 63. Stephen King, I remember seeing an interview of him, and he said, how do you become a great writer? You write every day. That's how you become great. And then the last paragraph on page 63 there says, work with all your heart, because I promise, if you show up for your work day after day after day after day, you might just get lucky enough for some random morning to burst right into bloom.
Yeah, I love that. Other one, there was another quote that was talking about the violets in the way that, when it's time for something, the violets would turn to light. That was a really great book. Yeah.
So finishing, we're at the 2-minute mark. So from what we learned in this chapter, and I can't recommend reading this enough. It is so fabulously written and such great. If this doesn't inspire you, I don't know what the heck would do that. So thinking about what are we going to do from what we learned. I used to have an idea book. I still have it. As a matter of fact, I think I'm looking at it right now, where I would write down the date and the idea, and so it wouldn't run away. So I'm going to go pull that journal out and be more active in writing those ideas down and be looking at my relationship to these ideas. What am I willing to commit to this next week or this next month or this next year? Wow, Amy, I really like that idea. I haven't thought of that, so I'm going to take you up on that. And also I want to do more practice with myself of the blank page, because I think I noticed now that I reflect on it how I've been thinking, okay, my work is to write a book or my work is to be a great professor, but maybe there are things out there that Spirit wants me to do in my life that I haven't even thought of because I've been going down these two train tracks and not considering any others. So I'm going to take on that blank piece of paper and see what comes up in terms of whole new possibilities outside of my realm of scope right now. So that's what I'll do. How about you, Robin?
I'm going to get that little pad and I'm going to have it in my back pocket so I'm ready to write down all those ideas so I don't go have to run to the house to get my ideas. Yeah. I'm going to make sure that I got my little tiger with me all the time. It's a little cat. Kitten tiger going on there because I don't need to go chasing after them all. So next week, I want to kind of give a little preview of what we're going to be doing next week. Next week is another powerful section called permission. And one of the things that's just really important to know is you don't need to have anybody's permission to slip into a life of a creative life and then making things powerful for yourself. And I know for me personally, there were so many ahas and confirmations of just, whether it's me and my self-talk or just hearing other people and their soft their self-talk. It's so important to have a book, you know, have that written in a book somewhere that just really gives you so much confirmation of what's working and what's not working. So I wanted to read at the end of Enchantment, Elizabeth says, "All I know for certain is that this is how I want to spend my life, collaborating to the best of my ability with forces of inspiration that I can neither see nor prove nor command nor understand. It's a strange line of work, admittedly. I cannot think of a better way to pass my days." So it's just having a creative life and passing, you know, passing that on to other people, saying yes and having that improv way of being able to just dance and have curiosity about what's in front of me and what's in store, because I just know it's going to be just delicious. So I want to thank everybody for joining us. Thank you, Miss Amy and Dr. Kim, for joining us. Miss Gloria, always, as always, want to thank you for that. And we will see you next time here at the cafe. Make sure to be going to the forum and letting us know how you're liking the book and any kinds of ideas, inspirations, and things like that that come to you, and any ideas that you'd like us to include in the show. We really appreciate that. And let us know how you're liking our new format. We've kind of changed a couple things the last couple shows, and we'd love to hear how you're liking it. So we want to thank you for joining us here at the cafe.
Have a great week, everyone.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.